and Hound podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Horse and Hound podcast. I'm Pippa Room, magazine editor here at Horse and Hound. I hope everyone's well and that you're excited for sport ramping up. By the time you listen to this, I'll be at the Defender Kentucky 5-star. We'll be revving up for the Royal Windsor Horse Show, and then it's the Mars Badminton Horse Trials. So there's so much coming up over this next month to look forward to. Our interviewees on this podcast are Amy Canavan-Smith and her sister Vicky Smith. They'll be talking to our showing editor Alex Robinson about all things native ponies and working hunters, including how they got started in showing and how to know if your pony has the potential for top level workers.
Whether they'll mentally let you ride them and train them, they might have everything there structure wise, but if they're not going to mentally let you in to train them, it makes your job very difficult.
For the second part of our podcast, we'll hear some insight from NAF Vet and Innovation Director Dr. Andy Richardson and NAF Head Nutritionist Kate Hoare.
It's all about balance, isn't it? It's about helping the body to retain the healthy balance. So when that balance starts to tip in favour of the unwanted effects, then we're just trying to keep that balance on the side of the positive.
So with no further ado, zip up your boots and let's get started. Welcome to this month's Horse and Hound guest interview. I'm Alex Robinson, showing editor here at Horse and Hound. I hope everyone's having a great start to the season. We're definitely gearing up now. Plenty of Royal International Horse Show qualifiers are underway. I hope everyone's been out and about and you've been enjoying the transition into spring. But for now, we're very lucky to be in the company of two of the best riders and producers on the circuit, Amy Canavan-Smith and her sister Vicky Smith. Amy and Vicky are based in Lancashire and they've achieved so many wins across all the sections on the flat and over fences. They've won the Royal International Horse of the Year Show and the Royal Windsor several times over, and they really are the best in the game. So Amy, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, great. Thank you for having me.
And Vicky, also great to have you. Welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Brilliant. And I've seen you've been on a bit of a roll this season so far. How many RI tickets have you both got? Could you just chat about who is on the Royal International bus at the moment?
You beat me on this one, Amy, so I'll let you go first. I started off the season strong with my own LeBurnham Richard. He did his first show since Hoys and at MPS 13, where he won and was supreme champion of the show. And then I qualified my own young stallion, Clomfort Melody's Boy. Now, I've had him since a yearling. John bought him, actually, for Valentine's Day 1 year. So no, he's an exciting project coming up. I'm really pleased about him getting his ticket. And then we went to North of England a couple of weeks ago. I qualified Hordendale Ray in the Fell Highland and Dales. Now, he's 15 this time, so he's a seasoned campaigner, and Vicky was actually judging the day after. So she just said, is there any chance she can take one for me? She was second, mm-hmm. actually, on Broughton Jack Jones in the C&D qualifier, and I'd never ridden him before, and it was quite a joke. Anyway, we went the day after and won and qualified, so we did pretty all right. And then we've got the lovely small Highland stallion. He's on the bus, as we say. Mm-hmm.
And that's Rachel Bill's Highland stallion, Glenn Bancor Ben Kula.
Yeah. I've done quite well this year. It's the earliest I think I've ever got all my tickets. I've never had all my tickets before May before, so that's quite a nice, releases the pressure a little bit and lets me concentrate a little bit more on the novice ponies coming through now.
Fabulous. And Vicky, how about you? How are you getting on?
Well, I've got a team of a lot of novices this year, to be fair. I've only actually got George in the Opens, the Love Hill Folklore Stallion, to jump as a seasoned campaigner. And then I've got two or three really young ones that are just coming into Open. So I'm going to pick my tracks with them. I've had a second and a third, but they're not really confident jumping around some of the really big tracks at the moment. So I've got Max, who Amy qualified, Broughton Jack Jones. He's a first-time open pony. Yeah, I think I've got two more flats to get. But again, they're novices, really. They'll be, we're not going down with any expectations. My own JP Corps Ballet has gone off to teach, doing really well. So I've not actually got that many more to qualify because the other two are novices, really. So, and not all my clients really want to do the Royal International this year. So I haven't really got much more to do. I will try for the other two novices and maybe check them down for the experience.
Yeah.
But it's not the end of the world if I don't.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like that is a fabulous start to the year. So I know Amy and Vicky, they have dabbled in many areas and classes, but they are particularly the ones to beat in native working hunter classes. So we thought we'd have a chat about that today. Could you two both recall a few of your standout workers from across your careers so far? Perhaps Amy, you would like to go first.
Well, I think the one that everybody relates to is definitely my own Laburnum Richard. He's 17 this time and he feels as fresh as he does as a four-year-old. And I don't like blowing my own trumpet or his too much, but there isn't, especially with Windsor looming next week. He's been four times champion and a second at Windsor. He has got a really good Windsor record. But yeah, he's won Hoys three times and been second four times. He's won the Royal International three times. I've been to Royal Dublin Horse Show on him. He is, as people say, a pony of a lifetime. He really is. But I also, you know, when I look back at Dougla Dykes, he was a small Highland stallion. And I won the Royal Highland Show on him in the Workers twice. You know, the South of England. I've been blessed with some really talented ponies that I've been able to work with as well.
Fab. And Vicky, how about you? Who are a couple of those standout stars you've had in the native workers?
Well, yes, obviously I've got Love Hill Fort Lord George. He was a winner on the flats at Hoys and second in the workers the same season. He's won Windsor. He's been supreme at the Heritage Championships and he's now 13. But he still loves his job, so we'll keep going with him until we see we're not fit. JP Corbally was a great over for me. He just always missed the big win. He was second at Windsor, second at RI, second at Hoys. He always just had, so I'm hoping Henry in the 1500s, because he's gone as a platter as well now, might just find his moment, because he does deserve that. But I've got another lovely little gelding coming through, Lindsay Sparker. He didn't come to me till he was eight. He's going to do his first proper open season this year. And with running 2 1400s, I'll have to find some help if he does qualify. He's not going to do the RA, he's just going to do the Hoys qualifiers. But I think he'll be a good little star as well. They're really, really hard to find, you know.
Yeah,
the ones that can go out and jump every track are hard to find.
Yeah. These native worker classes, they're so popular right up and down the heights. But is there any breed that you find is particularly talented in the working hunter scene, or is it definitely sort of independent for the specific pony?
Well, we found out with Amy that some, what we call like freaks when they jump. We've jumped a couple of Dales, a couple of Fells that have actually been jumped as good as, or you know, as a Connemara, but they wouldn't be good enough on the flat. So the confirmation is slightly different. And enable them to jump like that. They might be a bit lighter, a bit scorpion through the body. So I think if just jumping's one of these, they either do it or they don't. I mean, George jumps through his heart. He absolutely loves it. He thinks he can take on anything. I think when you're learning to jump or you're coming out as a worker, your Connemaras are obviously a very easy because they're very athletic. But we do find that some of the heavier native breeds have got a real jump.
Yeah.
All comes from the canter. Yeah. A lot of the breed standards, like your breed standards fell, that's amazing. You know, they're not naturally built to go and jump a course of 80, 90 centimetres. They're not perfect in any way, but they're freaks at what they do. And you've just got to tap into that inner potential and work with what you've got.
Yeah. And what age are they sort of starting to, you know, give you that sign that they might have a jump? You just mentioned there, you know, the canter is the most important pace for the jumping. How early on have you been able to tell in some of your best ones that they're, you know, they're really going to be talented?
Right, straight away.
It went with Pedro because you tried to sell him.
when I bought Pedro out the sales, but I think when it comes to the canter, I think they've either got a natural campsite you can work with, or they haven't. The Dales are so, like, I loved when I had the big jumping Dales, Faradale Blackjack. Unfortunately, he's not with us anymore, but he was such a freak. I mean, I think he was about 15 hands. He wasn't breed standard at all, but he had the power that came from those hocks for like nothing else. You know, so he could just get, you know, that, and he did actually want to jump.
Pedro didn't find his feet till he was like five, did he really, Amy?
Probably a little bit later, actually. I'd say with the young stallion I've got now, my own, the six-year-old, like, he's always had a jump, and I know he always jumps, but it's only taken me till probably this year where he's actually letting me train him within his own. I don't think, sometimes it's not about them physically, it's about them mentally.
Yeah, definitely.
When they'll mentally let you ride them and train them, they might have everything there structure-wise, but if they're not going to mentally let you in to train them, it makes your job very difficult.
I think that's, me and Amy are very, very experienced. We probably know every track around the country. We could probably guide a five, 6-year-old round a course open quite well. But if you get a novice rider trying to guide a novice pony, that's when it can, especially a heavier breed that aren't as athletic, that's when it becomes a bit of a problem. And natives are stubborn, as we know. They're quite a stubborn breed, some of them.
That step up from the novices to the opens is quite extreme, isn't it? You really do need to put the groundwork in over those novice tracks, don't you?
And we've got the training stakes now, which are brilliant. You know, they're a really good stepping stone for getting up to the heights.
And what sort of training are you putting in at home? Does it differ for the breeds, or are they all quite similar? How are you kind of, you know, gauging that?
I find it different. Like, if I'm training a Connemara for a big track rather than a Highland or a Fell or a Dales, I find with the heavier breeds, as in your Highlands, your Fells, your Dales, they struggle with the distances a lot in the doubles. So I do a lot of pole work to try and encourage them to, especially when they get in the doubles. If you've got a 14-hand Highlander, you've got a full-up 90 double with a back bar coming out, you're going to have to be pretty accurate at that front rail to get them out the other side and it make it look good. So lots of grid work training at home, trying to get that canter opened up. You're trying to get them confident so they feel like they can take on the world. That's what you have to do. You have to make them think that they're invincible when they enter that ring. Because if they go in with a little bit of doubt in their mind, and you do, then back bars and then related distances and doubles, they will catch you out. And that's where, you know, unfortunately, then it only takes a couple of times for them to land in a bit of trouble. And they start losing the confidence because it's not natural for them to do it. Right. So you have to constantly train them to think that they are invincible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Vicky, do you have anything to add to that? How are you kind of, you know, bringing the horses on at home?
Well, with George, I'm doing what I normally do. He does lots of hacking. And I only have to jump in once a week because he doesn't really need it. So I either go for a lesson with Susie Gibson, who trains me and Amy, or I do some grid work and things at home. And then because I've got quite a lot of novices, I've been doing quite a lot of work on courses just to get the confidence up, working on corners, on straightness. And as Amy said, doubles really, because, you know, you can have some quite tricky ones.
Mm-hmm. And do you both have a favourite show that you really like to take your natives to each year? You know, it might be ones for novices or, you know, those big open championships. Where do you kind of prefer to go throughout the season? Vicky?
I have a period. I love the Highland.
Yeah.
It's a very inventive course.
Yeah, okay.
Graham Barclay is one of the best course builders that we have. He's so inventive and, you know, he leaves no stone unturned when it comes to decoration. It gives you a real course to jump. Like, I think he's just amazing at what he does.
He's building quite a few more now. He's building at Greenlands and so I'm hoping there's some good courses coming up.
But I also like jumping Lisa Kelly's courses. She builds up your likes of Windsor because she, I think it shows when people look at the courses, they think, oh, Lisa Kelly really makes you work for a clear round. It doesn't look it from the outside, but she's very clever where she puts her lines, where you would approach the fence, where you would then be landing on the outside for the next fence. I think she's, you know, she is really good as getting riders to really think and use the arena and ride the course.
And I guess it's quite a, you know, difficult toss up. You want to, you know, be able to get a clear round, but you also don't want too many clear rounds to, you know, make sure, you know, that the show takes the precedence over the course. It's quite a tricky one,
definitely.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Brilliant. And where are you guys heading next? Are you going to Windsor next week? Amy?
Yes, I'm at Windsor. I'm actually making my in-hand debut.
Brilliant.
It's quite hilarious. I hope I can keep up. No, so I'm doing the in-hand on the Friday with the Highland Stallion and the Connemara Stallion. Then me and Vicky are both jumping down there on Saturday.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, guys. We look forward to hearing about your results at Windsor. And yeah, best of luck for the rest of the season. Thank you.
No worries. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Alex, and to Amy and Vicky. Now we're going to hear a promotional feature in which NAF Head Nutritionist Kate Hoare and NAF Vet and Innovation Director Dr. Andy Richardson discuss NAF 5-star Metazone. Over to you, Kate.
Thanks, Pippa. Yeah, well, Andy, it's great to be able to sit and have a chat about the science and research that goes into our products, particularly into our new product, 5-star Metazone. Metazone has been designed to support the body's anti-inflammatory pathways, and really we're hoping to prove that there is something for every horse in the Metazone, from elite competition athletes down to our leisure ponies and retired horses. So hopefully we can show that there's something for every horse in the Metazone.
Hi, Kate. Yeah, and I think it's really nice to have that opportunity. And, you know, it's something we're certainly very proud of at NAF. And in the coming up to 3 years that I've been with the company, you know, we've run countless trials already in that time. And, you know, including, you know, a variety of independently run trials on our products with multiple different academic centres of excellence, universities and colleges. And, you know, really the aim being to validate our products before we launch them, as well, obviously, as the analysis we do on the existing published evidence for the ingredients that we put into our products. But of course, this isn't a new thing, is it, Kate? You know, you've obviously been with the company for several years, and Metazone in particular has really been, it's really come about from many years of research, particularly in the field of plant-based phytoactive compounds that I know you're particularly interested in.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you're 3 years, you're doing well with us so far, Andy. I'm afraid I go back a little bit further than that. It's I stopped counting when I got to 25 years, let's put it that way.
Well, you must have started very young.
Of course. Certainly our research goes back that far and further. You know, we've been researching and developing our nutritional excellence for over 30 years now. We have published literature going back to the late 1990s, a really interesting piece that one of our founding vets did in the Journal of Equine Veterinary Science on antioxidants and those phytoactives that you mentioned. And that has really been one of the strengths throughout all of our formulae, and definitely something that really feeds into Metazone, is these phytoactives within plant-based products that can work as powerful antioxidants, supporting that healthy system, making sure that the horse can cope with the rigors of modern day-to-day equine life and what's required of them, and keeping their system clean and healthy and ready to go. And one area that has emerged from that within the role of herbs is how the right plants can support the body's own anti-inflammatory pathways. And that's something we've really explored with Metazone and with the key actives that are in Metazone. It's, again, it goes back many years, but it's something that we've honed and crafted and really concentrated on in Metazone, so that we're looking at those pathways and looking to support the rigors of the modern equine lifestyle, really.
Sure. So moving on specifically to Metazone. So as a product, it's obviously designed to support the body's anti-inflammatory system and pathways. And, you know, to me as a vet, I get really interested when we talk about inflammation, because, you know, it's such an important physiological reaction, I suppose. And I think it's worth saying, that it's the body's natural reaction to injury and infection. And in the initial stages, of course, it acts as the body's response to protect itself against further harm. But I guess harder to explain and more complex and you know, often more problematic is when you get long-term or chronic inflammation. And I guess it's helping to support the body's response to that, which is what we're aiming to do with Metazone. I think it is a part of a normal physiological reaction, but when it becomes unchecked and it can become quite problematic, that's really when I think nutrition plays a part. And certainly we've had some fantastic feedback and results with this product so far. Just tell me a little bit, Kate. I'd be really interested in how this product came about in terms of the trials and the feedback that you were getting and what you were aiming to do with the trial in particular.
Well, that's right, isn't it? I mean, I think what you touched on there and something, again, we've looked at in all of our formulae over the years, it's all about balance, isn't it? It's about helping the body to retain the healthy balance. So when that balance starts to tip in flavour of the unwanted effects, then we're just trying to keep that balance on the side of the positive. And with Metazone, we started off really thinking of this for a product for elite horses, you know, the stresses that those guys are dealing with, you know, long-term travel, maybe air travel, elite competition, competition very often back to back through the season, you know, all these sort of things that happen at the elite end was really what we were looking at for Metazone. And we got some great response from, you know, it's great that as official suppliers to the British team, we're able to work with some of the really, you know, leading riders and team players. And we got fantastic response from that. But perhaps what we weren't expecting so much, but we were delighted to get, was also the response like, oh, actually, his skin looks fabulous. And oh, his hooves are brilliant. And we started getting feedback that wasn't to do with performance, wasn't to do with recovery from exercise, but was actually to do with all systems in the body, whether it was a skin issue, whether it was a seasonal issue, whether it, you know, that. And so we had lots of sort of, oh, and by the way, that we started to think, right, actually, this is a much broader product than we initially thought it was. So that's why we, one of the reasons we went to trial, you started by saying we trial all of our products, which we do. And this is one that did go to a full independent trial, which I know you were very involved with, weren't you, Andy?
Yeah, I think exactly. And I think, you know, I suppose, again, the vet in me wants to see the evidence. And I wanted to see that the fantastic results that we'd had internally could be replicated, could be validated with an independent trial. And that's exactly what we set out to do. And, you know, this product has such a broad range of uses. But obviously for the trial, you know, we had to look at something quite specific and quite tangible. So the researchers at the Royal Agricultural University came up with a great protocol. They had a group of horses. They were riding school horses, and they really looked at two specific aspects. One was measuring their gait. So they used some very clever software, some very clever kinematic gait analysis that looked at stride length and flexion angles of all the different major joints as the horse moved. And they were measured before the horses received the supplement and after they received the supplement. In combination with that kinematic analysis, we also had a group of experienced equine veterinarians looking at the way these horses were moving on the video. So they were looked at, walked and trotted in hand in a straight line, and also lunged at trot, obviously on a circle. So we had this combination, and we had this measurable kinematic gait analysis, and we had vets looking at the video. And those vets were analysing those horses' gait and giving them a comfort score depending on how freely and how well they were moving. And of course, the vets didn't know what stage those horses were at. So they were completely blind to whether the whether the videos were from horses that had received the supplement or not, and they were all mixed up, so there was no pattern there. And then obviously the software that measures the flexion angles of the joints, you know, that can't lie, that's all computerized. So it was a really, really robust trial. And I think what was most exciting was that the results showed, there's a particularly important word in the world of trials and data, which is significance. And both sets of results, both the kinematic gait analysis and the vet's opinions on the videos, showed a statistically significant improvement for the horses after they'd received the metazone. So to get that was just a fantastic, fantastic validation of everything that we'd been working on before we got to the stage of obviously having the Royal Agricultural University run that trial for us.
Yeah, and that's great, isn't it? To have that scientific validation from, as you say, the statistically significant results. But, you know, and as a scientist myself, I love to see those results, but I also love to see just the real rider results. You know, nothing gives us greater pleasure in our job than just to have someone ring up and say, do you know what, he's doing great. He's really, you know, I'm really happy with him. And with metazone particularly, we see that right across the board, you know, right from people like Carl Hester, who said that, you know, who put metazone forward as the product that helps their horse to travel the world and perform at their best. And I think you've only got to look at Carl and his team's results to understand that, well, something's working, isn't it? You know, they're doing pretty well. And I know that metazone is an important part of what they pack on the lorry. So, but also, you know, as I often say, I'm a happy hacker. I'm a leisure rider. I'm very proud of being that happy hacker. So I love it when I hear of real riders, leisure riders saying, I've tried everything else. This has made a difference. You know, I'm so pleased. Sometimes we get people who just say, do you know what? He's so happy. And for them to be happy and for them to see their horse comfortable and happy, whether it's in their gait analysis, whether it's the skin condition, whether it's the hoof condition, they say, oh, he's happy again, thank you. You know, and that's, to be honest, I love the statistically significant trial results, but I love the real rider results even more. I just, you know, it's brilliant when we get that. So, real rider results. And I think you've had some really good feedback from fellow vets, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. You know, I've certainly been encouraging any vet that will listen to me to try it. I think it's probably fair to say that UK vets in particular can be quite sceptical and with supplements, and rightly so, to be honest. You know, it's absolutely their job to question, question any product and question its validity. And that's why it's so nice to be able to give them the reassurance of the independent trial. But, you know, as you said, Kate, getting their feedback once they've tried the product has just been fantastic. And, you know, not just vets that I speak to on a regular basis, but also having vets come to us as a business and say that they've tried it and been really impressed with the results has been absolutely fantastic. And, you know, I just wanted to go back to what you said earlier. And it's a product that's it's got such a broad spectrum, but also as to the type of horse that it can help. You know, as you said, the elite athletes, of course, you know, every tiny aspect of their daily life is controlled, and, you know, nutrition and supplementation of that nutrition is one part of the jigsaw. But it's also the happy hackers, as you say, and the general leisure horses and the retired ponies and, you know, kids ponies, my kids pony. It's got such a wide range of uses, and that's why you know, it makes it so exciting, and nothing beats hearing that feedback of when you've helped a horse and helped a case. So yeah, it's been a fantastic result, and I think we can all be quite proud of NAF, but it's been a real team effort to get it this far, and it's been many years in the making.
Many years, yeah. And I think what makes me proud and makes the whole company proud is that there's really something for every horse in the metazone. So we just hope that everyone gets the chance to experience that.
Thank you, Kate. Well, I think we'll leave it there. It's been a really interesting chat, and thank you for your time this morning.
Yeah, thanks, Andy. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Kate and Andy. Well, that's the end of our podcast for today, but we will be back very soon because we're delighted to announce that we'll be bringing you daily podcasts during badminton horse trials next month. So do tune in each evening from Thursday the 9th to Sunday the 12th of May to get a full update on the day's action from badminton. Meanwhile, for our next monthly podcast, we'll return at the end of May, when our interviewee will be five-star event rider Lissa Green. She'll be talking about returning to the saddle as a new mother and changing nationality to ride for Australia. First, though, we look forward to bringing you all the excitement of badminton in a couple of weeks' time. Talk to you then.
The Horse and Hound podcast is a Media Cage production.